Hi, and welcome to the radio version of DC Public Safety. I'm Len Sipes. Today's guest is Ted Guest, and he is the president of the Criminal Justice Journalist Association. Used to be an editor for U.S. News and World Report and was a newspaper editor for that. And welcome, Ted.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We are here today to discuss the whole concept of journalists covering criminal justice issues, crime-related issues, crime reporters. And as being in the business for the last 30 years in terms of doing media relations for a variety of criminal justice agencies, I have had the joy and the thrill of being, I suppose, up against or dealing with some of the best reporters from the Washington Post, the Baltimore Sun, the New York Times, and elsewhere. And it's always fascinated me that of the whole interaction, the whole relationship, the give and take between journalists and those of us who represent the criminal justice system. And Ted, sometimes it's adversarial and sometimes it's very friendly.
Yeah, it obviously depends on what the story is. So, yes, it depends on how cooperative both the source is and the journalist is, how professional everyone is. But yes, in this field, obviously, we're going to have some conflict because, let's face it, we deal collectively and what a lot of people might call bad news. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, by definition, we're going to be talking about things that are bad, crimes that were committed, and
right,
what either is or isn't being done about it.
And oftentimes the lack of an adequate response on the part of the criminal justice system. So it becomes dicey. There's no doubt about it. But I'll say this. My first 10 years were representing federal agencies, you know, large Department of Justice Clearinghouse and the National Crime Prevention Council. I thought I knew something about public relations. I went to work for the Maryland Department of Public Safety, which was corrections and the state police and the fire marshal's office and Maryland Emergency Management. And boy, what an education. I had no idea what real public relations was like until I represented an agency and was on the receiving end, not of nice people who wanted information on crime prevention or crime statistics. Now they're really hammering me as to, you know, why did your agency do what it did and why did it screw up and yada, yada, yada. It was difficult.
Yeah. So, Ed, I don't know if you want to get into some of the substance here, but I guess myth is that all journalists are alike and all media are alike. And clearly that is not correct, especially in this day and age we live in now with people on the web, people doing podcasts as we're doing right now, people doing all sorts of media. So that's one, I think, basic point we should establish at the beginning, that like people in your profession, people in the journalism profession are going to come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. And I don't mean that sarcastically, but people who are trained, people who are not very well trained, people who might have some preconception about what a story is or what a story isn't. But I think we should avoid, although we're going to be speaking in generalities, people in your profession should avoid generalities in dealing with the media, such as, you know, all media people are terrible or all of them are great or all of them think that public agencies are bad, because most of those things are not true. I think people we find deal with things on a story by story basis. Mm-hmm. But let's get into some of the specific things you want to explore here.
Okay, well, the part of that is, however, a sense with representing the criminal justice agency, representing government for the last 20, 30 years, there is a large amount of mistrust on people on the government side, because they think the journalist is solely there to embarrass him. They don't understand the fact that it's a complex criminal justice agency, that there are budget issues, that there are political issues, or all sorts of things that are going on that considerations that the journalist never takes in mind. It's simply, from their perspective, it's a gotcha. It is simply an exercise to embarrass, not educate the public. Now, on the media side, I think sometimes that they have the perception that we in the bureaucracy simply are not responsive to their needs. We're too secretive. We don't talk enough. We're not open enough. And somewhere in the middle of all that's probably the truth.
Right. And of course, we in the media don't cover things for the most part in terms of agencies. I don't come to work in the morning if I'm a reporter thinking, for the most part, that my job today is to assess how an agency is doing. There are exceptions to that. There are obviously a lot of investigations throughout journalism history of how particular agencies work. But I think we should think about, journalists are thinking about things more in terms of stories. What is a story? And a story can be a very generic story, like what is happening with crime and criminal justice in our community, or more likely, It's going to be a story about a particular crime that's been committed, either a crime we may know a lot about that crime, we may know not very much, we might know that someone is being suspected or arrested in that crime, and go from there. And I think that's where most journalists are coming from. And I think a lot of agency people may think wrongly, I'm coming to work in the morning, I'm going to do a story about how the police department is terrible. Well, I mean, that could be the case somewhere. I'm not saying it isn't the case, but more likely, I'm coming just to find out what's going on and then to assess things. And it may be that part of that assessment will be how well the agency is doing. But I think the first thing we start with is sort of the basic. We all know the cliche about the basic four or five W's, you know, who, what, where, when, why. That's what we're trying to find out. And we hope that agencies, government agencies or private agencies, could be helpful in trying to determine that. Now, clearly, we may want to get into this. There are going to be some cases in which there's a question of how an agency handled a particular case, but that's not the focus of most journalistic reporting in the crime area, I don't think.
Well, before going on to the content of the program, I do want to mention the fact that you are associated with, what, two universities?
Yes,
John Jay?
Criminal Justice Journalists is an independent organization. We have a board of 15 working journalists, or in a couple of cases, journalists who've gone into academia or into law. But yes, we are affiliated with two places, the University of Pennsylvania Criminology Department.
And, great school.
And more recently, John Jay College of Criminal Justice.
Great
in New
school
York City.
Again. Yep.
And we have created there something called the Center for Media, Crime, and Justice, of which Criminal Justice Journalists is a part. And the basic purpose in both of these institutions is to improve the media coverage of criminal justice. So I want to set that out very clearly here, that we're trying to improve things.
Right.
And of course, that includes a critique of the media and a critique, in many cases, of public officials. We are a major, so generically, we're into journalist training, but this also, by definition, includes training, if you could call it that, of public officials and people who
sure.
deal with journalists.
Sure.
So one of our major things now is to put out a daily news digest of programs, of major stories in criminal justice nationally in the United States and sometimes in foreign countries every day. We just, because of the format, we have a limit of 12 stories, but we try to get a variety of stories there from federal, state, local, not obviously trying to cover every crime. There's no way we could do that, but major issues.
It's the best summary. And I tell the people all the every day, it is the best summary of crime and criminal justice issues on a daily basis, bar none. How do people get it? People listening to this program, how do they get access to it?
Well, you have to go to a website, which I don't know if you want me to actually recite the web address.
Sure, of course.
One way to do it would just be to go to a Google search of our name, Criminal Justice Journalist, or of the name of the news service, Crime and Justice News. But
right.
because we are supported primarily by John Jay College, it's free. You can get this once a day by email.
And it's an incredible resource.
Yeah. Or can just look it up on the web. I mean, I could give the exact...
No. I think if they Google Criminal Justice Journalist,
right.
they're going to be able to get access
right,
very
exactly.
quickly to your newsletter. And anybody, especially any citizen, anybody interested in crime and criminal justice issues, this is the publication that keeps me up to date of what's going on throughout the country regarding crime and criminal justice issues. So you all should be congratulated for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Ted, what are the major issues as far as the journalists are concerned, who cover the criminal justice system? Is it access? Is it being stonewalled? Is it our paranoia and distrust of the media? What is it that you think is the principal issue as far as criminal justice journalists are concerned?
Well, by issue, I mean there are various ways you can interpret that. I mean, the major thing, I think, is just trying to cover the news in terms, as I said, of both general trends in crime and justice, but also getting information about individual cases. And in most areas, I think this works out pretty well. Most areas. Now, there are some exceptions. I mean, and again, a lot of this is anecdotal. Remember my point. I think our listeners on this know that in this country, the United States, we have somewhere around, no one even knows, 17,000 or 18,000 law enforcement agencies, 50 state correction systems, of course, the federal system. So everything I say varies. In one area, everything could be working out well, and I hope it is in most areas. In other areas, it's not working out well. For instance, reporters who say anecdotally, I can't get any information out of the police department, or they will just tell me a bare amount of information. You got to remember, with these 17 or 18,000 agencies and a limited number of reporters, a lot of information gathering is being done by phone, by internet, secondhand. So it's not usually a case of reporters sitting down like we are now face to face doing interviews. So and of course we're talking about 24/7 operations. Maybe someday way back when you could operate more or less on a Monday through Friday 9 to 5 schedule. Of course, that was never really literally true, but whatever was the case then, now we're in a 24/7 era, so things could be coming up at any hour of the night and day. So yeah, excuse me, access to information is one of the major issues. It's hard to generalize it. Again, this can vary from place to place and from person to person. Obviously, there are state laws, there are regulations, but a lot of dealing with reporters, dealing with sources, and by sources, I mean not only government agencies, but just, again, private agencies, service providers, lawyers, et cetera, comes down to personal relations.
I've always said that.
And the level of knowledge on both sides. And as I said, there are reporters who are knowledgeable and some that aren't, and public officials who are knowledgeable and some that aren't. And when you have a happy medium there of people, of professional people dealing with each other with high level of knowledge, generally it works out fine. The problems come in when one side or the other doesn't have that level of knowledge, and there's a lot of dissatisfaction, I know, among public officials. I get reporters who don't know what they're talking about. They don't know the difference between probation and parole, between jails and prisons,
I'll throw an observation out, and that is when I first started this, you had beat reporters. You had reporters who really were knowledgeable about the criminal justice system. You had hard-nosed investigative reporters who made your life very difficult because oftentimes they knew more about the subject matter than you did. Now, they were ordinarily fair. These real tough, hard-nosed investigative reporters, ordinarily, I found them to be very fair. They ordinarily tried to cut it right down the middle. I think it's changed. I think it's changed dramatically because of the cutbacks in newsrooms all throughout the country. I think now, ordinarily, you're going to get a reporter who really doesn't know a lot about the topic. And that is, I think, increasing your opinion.
Well, it's hard to quantify this. So, and again, as I said earlier, we have so many different media, especially some of the new media. So that certainly is true of them. On the other hand, we still have quite a few very good newspapers and broadcast operations who have experienced reporters. So it's pretty hard to generalize. But let's assume, well, whatever the actual number is, there are a bunch of journalists out there at any time who don't know really the basics of what they're talking about whatever subject, whether it's agriculture or energy or criminal justice. So we, our group, again, to give a plug for us, we have some resources to help on this. I'm getting a little ahead of the game here, but we have a course at a place called the Poynter Institute in Florida, a basic course for police reporters and one for court reporters. We also have a guide online. You can see all this
Criminal Justice Journalist.
Our website, a guide telling journalists the basics. But even that, even if journalists knew all of that, which they don't, they're always going to be new reporters. They're people. People are coming out of journalism schools literally every year, thousands of them who don't know this stuff. So I would urge people in your profession to be patient, which is sometimes difficult when people are on deadline, but be patient and if necessary, err on the side of explaining the basics. If you start up, again, in a hypothetical case, if someone is asking about probation or parole, you might say, do you know the difference? If they say, yes, I know the difference, well, it may become clear that they do, or it may become clear that they don't.
Or it becomes clear in their reporting that they don't, and they were just too embarrassed to ask.
So, or you might have, and I know, I think you do in this particular agency, but actual fact sheets, either online or on a piece of paper that you can hand people.
Right.
A lot of people, again, just to use that very basic thing, don't know the difference between a prison and a jail. It may seem pretty obvious, but a lot of people say, he was sent to jail for 20 years.
Right.
And you think, no, wait a minute, jail is usually for people with sentences of 1 or 2 years.
I've seen print reporters say it was a robbery when it was a burglary.
Yes. So be patient and don't assume that people know that. And most reporters, again, there's exceptions to everything. Most reporters want to learn the facts, want to get it accurately. Who wants to do an inaccurate story? So most reporters will appreciate, I think, efforts by public officials to get them the correct information. Now, some of them still won't get it right. By the way, this may be a little off the subject, but I would feel free if I were a source of a story to call up a reporter who has screwed something up and correct them later in a positive way. Or if that doesn't work, going to their superiors. I know you don't want to do that very often, but if there's something really egregious and the reporter is either not returning your call or is continuing to make the same error, I think the superior, that reporter, should know about it. Again, I'm talking about cases, extreme cases here, in which someone really did something terrible. Unfortunately, there's a level of error in journalism.
The best available version of the news.
Yeah,
history's first draft.
And this is good news. I think every day in most U.S. newspapers, there is a long list of corrections. Sometimes it's 10 or 12 items. You might say, you could look at that either way, that's terrible. They make 10 or 12 mistakes. But when you think about it, a big newspaper of 50, 60, 70 pages, if they make 10 or 12 mistakes, and some of them are very minor. I noticed just today, I think it was the New York Times, ran a correction from a story from the year 2000, from 7 years ago. But they said, hey, we just learned about this.
Mm-hmm.
We're correcting it. Now, granted, some news media are not very good about making corrections. But anyway, but I think that's good advice.
You started talking a little while ago about the personal relationship between the public affairs officer or somebody representing the government, the bureaucracy, and that individual reporter. And most people listening to this program, I mean, your bureaucracy, the bureaucracy of the media, the bureaucracy of government, we all mistrust each other. It is a bit of an adversarial relationship. But in probably 85, maybe even 90% of the times, it is nothing more than a personal relationship where that person asks you questions and you respond, and in many cases go off the record and provide a full explanation as to what's going on. I remember quite a few times I would say to the reporter, now you know everything I know. So there's no question about you not knowing this and knowing exactly what the facts are, even though I can't give them to you for the record. Hopefully in a couple days from now, I'll give them to you for the record. I mean, in many cases, it's that level of personal interaction, or that reporter will come along and say, look, I'm under incredible pressure on the part of my editor to get this done. I think my editor is completely off base, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I'm going to ask this embarrassing question, and you can respond on an off-the-record basis. A lot of, so much of this is that personal relationship and a matter of trust between that government representative and that journalist, correct?
Yes. And we just have to respect the different jobs that we have. I mean, you have a particular job. I have a particular job. Some things you do, I might not agree with, but I'm not going to tell you how to do your job. Some things I do, you might not agree with. Presumably have a pretty good sense of what my audience wants.
Well, you also have a First Amendment right to do whatever you want.
Yeah, it might or might not correspond with yours. So that's just another bit of advice I would give to, again, public officials. You may not appreciate the way that something was portrayed in the news media, but you've got to just...
Well, I wrote an article and I sent it to you in advance of this conversation. And part of it, again, was not to beat a dead horse, but the mistrust that we in many places in government have. And I'm talking about 30 years of being in government, and there's this inevitable mistrust. People saying, Leonard, you just don't understand that X is just out to get me. They're being very unfair in terms of the reporting. They're not placing it in context. And if you talk to that reporter in many cases is saying, hey, you know, I'm reporting on what I know. If you know something beyond that, you need to tell me. So there's in many cases, there is this universe. And I know from going to lots of parties with reporters and having reporters as friends, you know, they refer to me as the flack. They refer to me as, uh-oh, here comes government. You know, they have this perception of us as being stonewalling bureaucrats in many cases. So there is that mistrust there. And I don't think that mistrust is ever going to go away. I think it's a naturally occurring phenomenon in terms of government and media.
That may be true, but I wouldn't characterize the relationships as primarily in terms of mistrust. I mean, I would say 80 or 90% of dealings between reporters and public officials in the case of a normal day or week are sort of normal professional dealings that don't involve mistrust. I think the problems come in when there is a story, and often it's a very big story in which there is some either hint or possibility of malfeasance. And I think that's where the problems come in. Just to take an example that's common in this profession, there are always going to be cases in which someone with a criminal record, it could be a former inmate, a former parolee,
goes
a
out
former
and does something
probationer
terrible. Yep.
Is going to do something bad.
Yep.
So that's just going to happen. We're going to report on it. And I know there's this big debate, which I don't really sympathize with, about good news, bad news. Why don't you people ever talk about good news? And we do talk about good news, but those kinds of stories are going to come up. So, and some reporter might have the, I don't know if this is in the category of mistrust, but might have the preconceived notion, well, if someone who was on probation committed another crime, that means that there was a mistake made in putting the person on probation. Well, it's conceivable there was a mistake, and there have been many cases in history in which people, officials, judges, professionals have said in retrospect, yes, that was a mistake. You know, we shouldn't have put that person on probation or parole. But there is an equally good argument in many cases that, yes, there's just an element of risk in life in general.
Right.
And that, yes, there was a risk taken. We take risks every day. We release X number of people. Most of them, thankfully, don't do anything bad when they're on probation.
But some do. That's
anything
inevitable.
Meaning committing a major crime, but some do.
But some
and,
do.
And a perfectly good answer in a hypothetical case might be, yes, we took a risk. We took many risks in 2007, and some of them didn't turn out very well, and this was one of them. And, of course, that can sound very self-serving, or it could be portrayed it that way. But those, I think, are the kinds of stories, again, where sometimes we get into professional disagreements, or the public officials might not think they were portrayed very well. But I don't think in most cases it's the case of the news media coming in with a preconceived notion that someone made a terrible mistake, although that could be the case.
Mm-hmm.
And again, sometimes mistakes were made.
Well, I always maintain that I think reporters, generally speaking, have opinions of agencies. And I think oftentimes that spokesperson is responsible, either good or bad, for that opinion of that agency. One of the things that I advocate is that agencies get out and interact with media far before something like this happening. So the media has an understanding of what is going on, has the contextual understanding of that agency or that operation. I remember representing the state of Maryland. We had our home detention program, and the home detention program had, you know, uniformed correctional officers and parole and probation agents, you know, armed and marked police cars, and they're out there supervising people involved in home detention. And every member of the media, I think, that covered the criminal justice system in the Baltimore metropolitan area and was a Washington Post reporter had ridden along on a home detention program. So when we had somebody go out and do something stupid, wasn't terribly stupid, but it was newsworthy, it was interesting that most of the media came to our defense. Explaining that this is one in you know, 500 who have been part of the program and actually promoted the program as something good and something within our best interest. I think that's the context that a lot of people in the criminal justice system are looking for, and I think or the government in general. And I think that's what they think is missing in a lot of coverage, that contextual understanding of the situation.
Yes, and you're right, and you're describing, I think a good practice to it would be to basically know the media in your area and make sure to the best of your ability that they do have this background information. I remember on the other side of the spectrum, I remember running into one state corrections director a few years ago at a social event at a conference, mm-hmm. who basically told me, Mr. Guest, I never talk to the media because right. all they want to do is negative stories. Well, I think I told this gentleman, and certainly what I feel is that's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because if you start from the idea you're never going to talk to the media, what that means is the only time they will call you probably
right.
is when there is a big problem, and it's sort of a vicious circle. So the only if this man is never going to talk, probably the only time I'm going to call him is when there's a sure. let's say a riot in the prison right. or an escape. If I call him just on a random day and say, hey, I would like to do a story on one of your rehabilitation programs, mm-hmm. if that's really his policy that he's not going to talk to the media, I might as well not make that call. So
right.
so and again, as you said, it doesn't mean that even if the best effort you make to prepare the media, you're still going to get occasionally a negative story because someone is going to screw up sometime. But, you know, that's
inevitable. I mean, government's not perfect. Government, Lord knows, government's not perfect. And we're going to make our fair share of mistakes. I think with people from RN, all we're looking for is the context of placing it in its proper context. And I think what all that you guys are looking for is access and fairness and some information about your program and not being unjustifiably jerked around.
Right.
I think that's the heart and soul of public relations, and I think that sums up 90% of public relations right there in terms of what I've just said.
Right. One thing I just wanted to add to what I said before, I've been listening about good news and bad news stories. It's not true that the media never do so-called good news stories. In fact, I deliberately ran one in my digest the other day in which there was a story out of Tennessee about a graduation ceremony for some convicts who had been through a rehabilitation mm-hmm. program, right. and how one of them had won an award because he had gotten right. a job and had stayed out of trouble. And the media did do a story. Now, was that a front page story? No, it probably wasn't, but it was a positive story. And a lot of people say, why don't you do more of those stories? Well, one answer is that sometimes they can be hard to do because, as we know, a lot of the possible figures in those stories actually don't want publicity. A lot of people who've been convicted of crimes.
No news is good news. I've heard that like 500 million times in 30 years.
But a lot of people, as we all know, who have been through these programs actually don't want publicity because if they've gotten their life back together, that's wonderful, but they probably don't want a story about how, as a former convict, they finally have gotten a job. You know, they don't want to jeopardize this. So,
sure.
But still, it is still true, and I'll just say it flat out here. We are going to do more stories that you might classify as bad news stories. But that's the nature of news.
Yeah,
isn't for
it?
The same reason that you
it's
know
the when, nature of news.
When the plane crashes, we do the story about the plane crash. We don't do the story about all the planes that didn't crash.
Right.
And it's basically the same principle.
It's the nature of news, and I think from the government's point of view that as long as it's placed in the context. Because it's pretty easy to generalize. It's pretty easy to simply say this is wrong and link it to five or six or seven other unrelated things. I think people in government are simply looking for fairness, and journalists are simply looking for access and not being jerked around. I still think that that's the bottom line behind 80% of public relations.
Right.
All right. Ted Guest, the president of Criminal Justice Journalists, former editor of U.S. News and World Report. And if you're looking for, again, a dynamite news summation, every single working day of the week, the best news summation on crime and justice, Google Criminal Justice Journalist, and you can get yourself on that list. You don't have to be a journalist to get on that list. Ladies and gentlemen, this is DC Public Safety. I want you to have yourselves a very pleasant day.